Acts chapter 28, if you have your Bibles ready, Acts chapter 28. Pastor went through the whole book of Acts a couple years ago, and I want to just highlight one little passage here in Acts chapter 28. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." I want to highlight this passage this morning, this little topic. They kindled a fire and received us every one. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day. Give us open ears and open hearts to what you'd have to say to us this morning. Father, I pray that you'd be with my mouth. Would only the words that you want to be said this morning. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. And I'm so thankful for this book. I'm so thankful for God's Word, because without it, I feel we'd be lost. God gave us the Holy Spirit the moment we got saved. But without this book, I feel I would be lost. We were in youth group the other night, and this is Mr. Dean's favorite phrase for this book. He calls it life's manual. And I love it because life's manual is there for when I'm wrong. It's there for when I'm right. It's there for how I need to get right. It's there for how I need to stay right. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 16, the Bible says, "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God." But what is the Scripture profitable for? It says it's all given by inspiration of God, but it's profitable for doctrine. You know what doctrine is? That's what's right. It's profitable for reproof. That's what's wrong. It's profitable for correction. That's how to get right. But it's also profitable for instruction in righteousness. That's how to stay right. You know how cool this book is? You can pay any schmo on the street money, a lot of money, to go and tell you what your problems are. In fact, they give you a lot of fancy words nowadays to tell you what your problems are. But I got a book that'll tell you not only what your problem is, but it'll tell you how to get it right. And after you get it right, it'll tell you how to stay right. And that is what God's Word is so profitable for. And I'm so thankful for it. Without this book, I feel like I'd be lost, because I wouldn't know what was wrong. I wouldn't know how to get right. And I wouldn't know how to stay right. And I want you to think about the importance of this book for just a second in your life. Just think of how important this book is. Now, with that preface in mind, I want you to think about this. We come up on the story of Paul. And Paul has just come through the whole... How many of you remember the King Agrippa story, where he is standing before King Agrippa and he's in chains, and he comes to King Agrippa and he's trying to reach King Agrippa for the Lord, and he's trying to share the gospel with him. And King Agrippa says these words, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul says, "I would that you'd be altogether as I am, except these chains." And he's looking down at his hands. I can see him looking down at his hands and saying, "I want you to be just as I am, saved, on your way to a heaven where Jesus Christ is for all eternity. Just don't have these chains." So Paul leaves King Agrippa, and they send him on a ship. And they send him on this ship to Italy. He's there with other prisoners. And the shipmaster puts them all on this ship. And all these prisoners are on this ship. And they're making their way to Italy. And there's been rough waters and rough sea. And they come up on rough ground. And they come up on this storm. And Paul says, "I don't think we should go yet." But they went anyways. And this is the passage where we get the famous shipwreck of Paul's shipwreck. And we see that this ship that all these prisoners and the shipmaster is on has now run aground, or has wrecked, and it is not able to go any farther. And they all, one of the guys on the boat says, "We should just kill all the prisoners. That way they don't go anywhere. That way they don't escape and we don't get in trouble." And they said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're going to let us all get to shore." They all get out, they jump out of the boat, and they swim over to the shore, and that is where we pick up our story. And all these prisoners have now gotten on some wood, or they have swam, and they are now making their way to shore. And when they get to shore, They are greeted by a group of people, and that's where we catch 28, chapter 28. When they were escaped out of that boat, they knew that the island was called Melita. Now catch this. The barbarous people showed us no little kindness. These people who don't know Paul and all these prisoners from Adam, they take them in. They say, it's cold out here. It's raining out here. Why don't we build you a fire? Let's make things right for you. Let's put a fire out. Let's get you warm. Let's get things right for you because you look like you're in a rough shape. And so they build this fire for Paul and all his people. So today, when I was reading this passage, I got to thinking about this fire. And I got to thinking because for some reason, reading this shipwreck of Paul, it hit me in a different way. I really understood this shipwreck and how it was all going down. And when they all came to shore, and Paul doesn't know these people from Adam, and these people build him a fire to warm him. Here's what hit me. You and I ought to be building fires for the Lord. You and I, our life ought to be a fire, for when people come and see us, they can see a fire that's burning bright for the Lord. The Bible talks about how we are not to be lukewarm. Remember the book of Revelations? He said, I will spew you out of my mouth. The Bible doesn't like lukewarm. You know what he likes? He likes it when we're on fire for him and what he's got going for us. So number one, I want you to notice this morning. I want you to notice some principles from sitting around the fire. Number one, everybody gets cold. It's pretty simple, right? Everybody gets cold. Think about it. Everybody gets cold. Now, all of you love, my dad loves it when I preach because somehow I just have story after story of my dad. I don't know why, but I have story after story. And he says that some of them are fictional. I can assure you not a single story I've told from this pulpit about my dad has been fictional, no matter what he says. Okay. So I have stories and stories and stories of my dad. But one story in particular that I love is one year we grew up in Fort Myers. So we're in Florida. Okay. We're in warm, sunny Florida. One summer, my dad gets the great idea that he wants to build a pad in our backyard, a built-up pad with pavers, so that we can put a fire pit on this pad. Great idea, if you lived in Michigan. But it's a great idea. And so we all loved the idea. He was going to get some chairs and a nice fire pit, and he was going to put this beautiful pad out back. So we got all the pavers. We had them sitting in our backyard for a long time. But we had these pavers, and then the crew came, and they laid the pad, and they laid the pavers, and it was a great thing. And so we had this pad in our backyard. It was a beautiful square pad. And my dad went and got this beautiful fire pit, and he put it right in the middle of this square pad in the back and got a bunch of beautiful chairs and put them out in the back. And it was a beautiful little area, again, if you lived in Michigan. But it was a beautiful little area. And I remember my dad all the time. Now, nobody tell the authorities, but I think my dad is somewhat of a pyromaniac. I think that's a word that they use. But I remember my dad loving that fire pit. And I remember that when it would be, he would look and he would know that it's going to be six. It's going to be in the high 60s. Ooh, Johnny, it's going to be in the high 60s. We can have a fire tonight. It's going to be 68. We need our long sleeves. We should make a fire tonight. And I remember my dad, he would just love that fire pit. Any excuse to have a fire out in the fire pit, he would always take. We're having company over. Oh, we got to have a fire. Oh, we're having them over for dinner. Oh, we can do s'mores. Don't worry about dessert, honey. We got s'mores in the back, out in the fire pit. He loved that fire pit. And I want you to think about this. When I was a young boy, I remember my dad with that fire pit. Hey, guys, want to have a fire tonight? Want to have a fire tonight? Why did he have a fire tonight? He had a fire because he thought he was going to be cold. And he loved to sit by the fire. I can remember nights where we'd all go to bed. We'd be showered because you smell like fire after you get done with a campfire. And so we'd go shower. And out my back window of my bedroom, I could look out when I was going to bed. I was on the top bunk. I remember looking out and I could still see my dad sitting by the fire. And he let it just dwindle all the way down until there was nothing left, until there was just embers. He loved sitting by the fire when he got cold. And I want you to think about this. Every single person, spiritually speaking, at some point in their life is going to get cold to the things of God. Every single person, I don't care who you are in this room, I don't care if you're the person that loves the Lord the most in this room. If we had a contest, I love the Lord the most. I don't care if you're the person that won that contest. There's going to come a time in your life where, spiritually speaking, you're going to become cold. There's going to be things in your life that happen that draw you away and are pulling you away from the Lord. By the way, those of you that are close to the Lord and are doing everything you can to push for Him, the devil sees that as a target and is going to do everything he can to pull you away from that. And I want you to think about this. Every single person gets cold. But I want you to think about this. Everybody gets cold. Sometimes when we're away from the Lord, and we're not where we need to be, and we haven't been doing what we know we ought to do, we haven't been hanging around the people that we know we ought to be hanging around, we haven't been, you name it, we think that everybody else over at that church over there on Pine Street, they're just going to judge me. And they're going to look at me all different, and they're going to look at me with these weird looks, and they're going to give me these weird glassy looks like I'm something different. And I want you to just listen for a second. Everybody gets cold. And the minute that any one of us Christians get together and we go, "Did you hear about so and so? How dare us?" Listen. We can talk about the time that you were cold spiritually. We can go back to the time where you weren't where you needed to be spiritually. How would you like it if someone pulled the deepest, darkest moments of your life and started laughing about them and talking ill about you in the deepest, darkest moments of your life? Everybody gets cold. Everybody needs to be warmed by the fire. And to us as Christians, it is so important, and we're going to get to that in a second, it's so important that we sit by the fire and we get warmed by the fire. Now, everyone gets cold, but I want you to think about this. Everybody gets cold, but if I'm living in Florida, do you think I'm going to get as cold as the people that live in Alaska? I'm not. Now, I'm just going to make a quick little principle here, and then I'm going to leave it. Where you spend the majority of your time is going to determine your spiritual hotness to the Lord. Think about it. I live in Florida. Of course, my dad lives in Florida and he's making fires in 60 degrees, but bear with me. I live in Florida. I do not get as cold, physically speaking, as the people who would live in Alaska where it is cold year round. I want you to think about your life for a second. I want you to look at your life as an individual, and I want you to look at your life as a person and as a Christian. I want you to think, what is in my life that I am surrounding myself with that is causing me to be cold spiritually, or is causing me not to be hot for the Lord spiritually? Look at your life. What is it in your life? What is what you're surrounding yourself with that is causing you to be cold? I remember when I was in college, I remember there being a time where we had this conference, and I remember this, my sophomore year, I remember this conference, and I remember there being a special speaker that spoke on something very similar to this. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm hanging around with this person. I'm doing this, which I ought not to be doing. I'm hanging around this. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe the reason that I'm not able to be on fire for the Lord, he's talking about being on fire for the Lord, burning so bright that everyone sees your flame and everyone sees what you're doing and sees what you're doing for the Lord and how awesome and great it is. I remember thinking to myself, maybe I can't be on fire for the Lord because of these things that are keeping me cold. I want you to look at your life. What is it in your life that's causing you to be cold in your spiritual life? Or you may not even be getting cold. You may just not be close enough to the fire. Number two, I want you to look at this. Number two, I want you to look at this. Why do I keep the fire burning? So we looked at the fire. We got to have a fire burning. But why do I keep a fire burning? Why would I decide to keep a fire? Because look, listen, we just learned everyone gets cold. It's hard to keep a fire burning. It really is hard as a Christian to keep that fire going for the Lord, to be the person that you ought to be day in, day out, night in, night out, in front of your kids, in front of your family, in front of your friends, in front of the people that you know. It's hard to be on fire for the Lord all the time. It is. You know what happens is a lot of times people quit trying to be on fire for the Lord. They quit trying to do the things of the Lord, and they literally just go the opposite way. And they go over here and they say, well, it didn't work for me. It didn't do what I intended for it to do. And they go the opposite way. I want you to think about this. Why do I keep the fire burning? Well, I'm going to keep the fire burning for myself. Number one, I'm going to keep the fire burning for myself. Listen, Christian, the more you and I stay away from the fire, the more I forget about the power of God. Think about it. The longer I stay away from the fire, the more I forget about the power of God. Think about those times in your life where you've seen God come through in just a huge way. I'm thinking of two instances right now in my life where I have just seen God come in and do some huge things in my life. Now, what is that in your life? You know, I hope there are some of you in this room. I hope that you write down when God does things for you. My dad kind of taught me that. When God is doing some things for you, He's teaching you some things and He's taught you a lesson, write it down. And He taught me that. And why would we do that? Because when things aren't going so good, when things aren't looking so hot, when things are getting colder, I can look back and I could go, hey, God did this for me. No way we had that many people saved. No way we saw that many things happen. No way we had that many children baptized. No way we saw that many people join the church that year. No way we saw, and you name it, no way there's some great things happening. But because I'm in this state, I don't see it. I want you to write things down when God does things, because how awesome it is when you can go back and you can go, man, the power of God was real in my life. And it was on April the 10th, 2005. And God did this. How awesome that is. The Bible says, Psalm 119, verse 11, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. We hide God's word in our hearts so we may not sin against Him, because ultimately, I want you to think about this. The more of God's word I have in my heart, the more I'm going to do for Him. Did you think about it? The more of God's word that's in my life, the more of God's word that comes and is in my soul and is in my life and ever part of me, the more, the Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Look, I keep my God's word in my heart so I don't sin against God. What is sinning against God? Going against His commandments? So think about it. If I'm not going against God's commandments, I'm going with God's commandments. Guess what? I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm where God wants me to be. I'm following what God wants me to do. So Thy word have I hid in my heart. So we need to keep the fire burning for ourselves. Listen, Christian, you need to keep the fire burning, if for nothing else, so that you can be the Christian that you ought to be. But number two, why would we keep the fire burning? This is near and dear to my heart, and all of you know that. We keep the fire burning because the next generation needs it. This is near and dear to my heart. Would you turn back to Judges chapter number 2 with me? Joshua, Judges, back in the first, in the Old Testament. Judges chapter number 2. And I want you to think about something for a second. We're going to go all the way back to the Old Testament. And I want you to notice something in Judges chapter 2 and verse number 10. The Bible says, and also all that generation were gathered under their fathers. There's a generation. Now I want you to catch this. There's a generation where out of the generation where the children of Israel have seen God do the 10 plagues. They've seen God raise the waters so and give them dry ground to walk on. We've seen all that. There's that generation is now gone. Now we're in the next generation. Now I want you to catch, now knowing that, look at Judges chapter 2, verse number 10. Also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. Now catch this. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. Listen. This is so crucial to our church. If we ever want to be a church that is going forward and doing what God wants us to do, this is so crucial. And I want you to catch this. Why do we keep the fire burning? Because there are young people that are coming through our public schools today, that are coming through our youth groups today, that are going through our doors today, shopping at the same stores that we shop at, getting gas at the same gas stations we stop at, and yet we don't take time to tell them about the Lord. And we don't take time to tell them about what God has done in my life and in the life of my friends and in the life of my family and how He's changed my life and how He's changed my life forever and how one day I'm going to spend eternity in a place called heaven because of Him and Jesus Christ. And I want you to think about this. There was a generation that saw God's works, saw God's miracles, saw the 10 plagues. Imagine if you were there and you saw the 10 plagues. Now that generation is older and they're moving through. And I want you to think about this. There arose another generation that hadn't seen that. And there's a generation that is coming up. And not only have they not seen those things of God that you've seen, but they're being pushed in a completely opposite direction. Don't believe me? Have a conversation with me sometime. When I tell you some of the things that are being pushed, it goes completely against this. And there's a generation that needs us to stand up and to say, let me tell you what God has done for me. Let me tell you what God has done in my life. Let me tell you how He's changed my life forever. You know, too often we make this weird. Make it a part of your everyday life. Our theme this year is declare the gospel. We didn't just pull this out from a random closet one someplace and say, hey, we're just going to randomly declare the gospel and that'll be our theme and hoo-ha and we got a theme for the year. That's not what we did. Our pastor thought and prayed and gave his time and thought about where does God have this church going. And he got to this point of declare the gospel because it ought to be a part of every single one of our lives where we are out declaring the gospel. And that goes for the next generation. The next generation. So we need to keep the fire burning because we need it as Christians. You and I need it. Because the next generation needed it. But think about this. You need to keep the fire burning because there's other Christians that are depending on you keeping your fire going for the Lord. I just want to take a second and thank all of those in this room that have kept their fire going for me. When I tell you that I am dependent on a lot of you to help me, I'm not exaggerating. And you think I'm being facetious just to make a point, but I'm not. Every Christian in this room is some way, shape, or form dependent on another Christian in this room. Someone else. And you know why you need to keep your fire going? Because everyone else goes through those times where they get cold. And you may just be that person where they look at your fire and go, oh yeah, oh yeah, look at that. That's what God can do. I forgot. I got cold, but I see it. And that fire, it's drawing me closer, just like those people. They didn't know Paul from Adam. And yet Paul comes on this island and they say, hey, because of the cold and because of the rain, let us build you a fire. And Christian, can I say something? When another Christian is going through struggles and we don't get behind them and do everything we can, shame on us. We need to keep our fire burning for the other Christians that are dependent on our fire. I can't tell you the amount of times that I have been dependent on other people and their fire. Man, we need our fires burning. But why else do we need to keep our fire burning? Last thing is this. Why do we need to keep our fire burning? Because of the unsaved. Where else are they going to see the fire? Some of you who have jobs out in the workplace and you are a dedicated Christian, you are a proclaimed Christian, they know that you are a part of a Calvary Baptist Church, or you are a Christian, or you are a Bible thumper. That used to be a big word. You are a Jesus or a Bible thumper. Listen, they know that about you. And yet our fire is the embers that barely burn. And this is our fire. We show up on Sundays. Other than that, our fire is just kind of sizzling. When in reality, if our fire was really burning for the Lord, those people that we know, that need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and we know that they need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, we want them to see our fire. We want them to be able to see what God can do in the life of a person who completely yields themselves to Him. And listen, I can look across this building this morning and I see people who have come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior as a result of seeing other people and other Christians. You know what they say about this generation, Generation Z? You know what they're saying about them? They're saying that 37.7% of the kids who get saved, who accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and have completely changed their life for the Lord, they're saying that 37% of them got saved because a friend led them to the Lord. Because a friend had their fire going at Lemon Bay High School. Because their friend had a fire going at McDonald's working down the road. Because their friend came to them and said, I care too much about your soul to see you die and go to eternal hell. I want you to know the gospel. A friend had a fire that was burning for the Lord. So everyone gets cold. Man, we get cold. Why do we keep that fire burning? We keep it burning so that you and I can just stay for the Lord like we're supposed to stay for the Lord. Keep it burning for other Christians. We keep it burning for the next generation. We keep it burning for the unsaved. But last thing I want you to notice is this. Last thing I want you to notice is this. How do I keep the fire burning? You say, oh, it's great, Johnny. How do I keep the fire burning? Number one, can I say this? Stay under the preaching of the Word of God. How important it is to get under the preaching of God's Word. This book can change your life if you let it. This book can change your family's life if you let it. But too often, it's a burden. It's a problem. It's something that can be pushed out of our schedule. I'll tell you one thing. When I was growing up, one thing that was never pushed out of our schedule was church. Ever. Ever. I don't remember ever a time where there was church besides being sick, and Dad would say deathly sick, where we did not go to church. You think I'm kidding, but we were there. And I want you to think about this. My parents put a priority on church when I was growing up. They put a priority on it. And I'm watching families right now, and I'm watching as they're putting a priority on church and putting a priority. I'm watching through our church. I'm watching through the families of our church and our membership and what's going on. And I'm watching as church is being put the priority, and I'm watching as God does things. as God is leading them in certain ways, as God is transforming their lives, and I'm watching. Why? Because the fire's got to keep burning for others, and their family has got to be a fire that is burning bright so that their friends and their family and everyone they know can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. How do I keep that fire burning? I'm going to stay under the preaching of the Word of God. Someone asked me yesterday, do you guys still have Sunday night services over there? Do you guys still have Sunday night services over there? I said, yes, we do. They said, yeah, it's the same message as Sunday morning, right? I said, no, it's actually different. It's a completely different service. New songs, new message. Everything's different. And they said, why do you do that? And I said, because they said, you know, you guys have Wednesday night Bible studies too. I said, yeah, we have small groups on Wednesday night. We have Sunday morning service. We have Sunday school. For those crazy people, we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock. And we have that at 10 o'clock. It's a great time. I said, and then we have our 11 o'clock service. He goes, man, you got to be tired after a Sunday morning. You got to go home and you just want to relax and watch a basketball game. Yes, I do. But you know what? I need more of the Word of God. And you know why? Because I need to have a fire that's burning for the Lord Jesus Christ so bright and so big that people can't help but ask, hey, what's going on over there? Hey, what does he have that I don't have? What's going on over at that church that really needs to be a part of my life? So, number one, you could stay under the preaching of the Word of God. My pastor used to say all the time, my pastor growing up, he used to say this. The week that you miss, you're talking about missing church and missing being under the preaching of God's Word. The week that you miss might just be the message that God intended just for you. Think about that. And I always thought that was like a cliche phrase. But then I got to thinking as I grew up. No. The message that you miss when you were supposed to be in church and you just decided, nope, I'm not going to go today. There's other things that are better. And you stayed home. That message that God intended maybe just for you, you completely missed. So next time you think, well, church needs to be kind of put off the side. The preaching of God's Word is not really the most important thing in my life. I'll just put that aside today. We'll go do this today. I want you to think about this. Maybe what you were going to hear was God intended to change your life. Could have been. Number two, stay in your Bible. 90% of my failures in my Christian life have been almost solely resulted in the fact that my devotional life had gone cold. 90% of them. And I want you to look at your life, and I want you to look at your devotional life. Where is your devotional life? We can sit here today and say, well, I was in church. I was there. I opened my Bible. I had a smile on my face. I even raised my hand when we were singing. It was a great time. We had a great time together this morning in church. And you go home and you throw your Bible on the dresser, and it doesn't get opened again until next Sunday morning when I got to go back to church, and I can show everybody that I come to church and I sing loud and I have a smile on my face and everything's great. But the whole week, this thing has collected dust when God intended for us to use it. We're talking about this week, Life's Manual. We were talking about it this past Wednesday. And I said to our youth group, I said, you know, there have been people that have intended for this book to never, ever be read again. They have intended to destroy this book. And the guy who said, I will destroy the Bible. There will be no copies of the Bible. I think his name was Voltaire. He said, there will be no copies of the Bible by the time I die. There will be all copies have been destroyed. And by the time he died, it wasn't several years later, that a Bible printing press was printed in his house and was established right there in Voltaire's house. So that way they could distribute the Bibles. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. Listen to me. Listen. God did not give us this book so we could just set it on the shelf. He has kept it preserved for all these generations. Not so on Sunday, God, we can just come and open it up for 1 hour and listen to God's Word. He intended for us to read it. He intended for us to know Him. He intended for us to know Him better. And too often we struggle with that. Too often we struggle. How do I keep a fire burning bright? We stay under the preaching of God's Word. We stay in our Bible. But we're going to stay faithful to God's call. This is the last. I'm going to stay faithful
to God's call. The worst place you could be in the world is out of God's will. I was talking to someone the other day. The worst place you could be is out of the will of God. And I tell our kids that, but can I tell you something? That goes for adults just as well. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lead not unto thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Too many times we look way down the road. We're looking 20 years down the road, 15 years down the road, 10 years down the road, and we're like, how am I going to make this happen? How is this going to work? How is this all going to take place? How is God really going to provide that time? How is God really going to do things for us? I want you to think about what God says. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct thy paths. You know what? How He directs your paths? A step at a time. God's given me light for today, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk in it. I can't see the light 10 years down the road. But I know that the ever-living, ever-eternal, all-knowing one knows all that's going to happen down there and knows that my path needs to go this way today. And He gives me the light for that, and He says, hey, go this way. Go this way. Do this. And you know what? As He gives me the light, we walk in the light as He is in the light. And I want you to think, how awesome of a communion as we walk with the Lord through this thing called life, and He guides us to what He has for us. But the minute we take a step and God says, no, I want you to go this way, and He knows the path. And He knows what's coming ahead. And we say, no, I think it's better if in order to get that way, I go this way. And we go around it. And we say, we know better. And you know what? Then we have already broken that communion with our Savior, with our Lord. We've broken that communion. Our fire has immediately started to dwindle. Why? Because now I know I'm not doing what I know I ought to do. Now I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, and my fire is nowhere where it needs to be. And my dad, with those fires at 60 degrees outside, my dad would have those fires burning hot. And I want you to think about this. The hotter our fire burns, the more people that can be reached with that fire. Now, let's bring it down and let's end it this way. The bigger the fire, the bigger and the more reach, right? So, this church, how big can we make this fire? The more fires that come together to form one big fire, what do we do when we build a fire? We take this fire, we take this fire, this little flame, and this flame, and we try to light this flame, and we try to get it all around. We just built a fire in North Carolina. When we were up there, we built a fire with Lee Indiana. We had a great time. And we built a fire, but they gave us lighters, and we lit this piece, and we lit this piece, and we lit this piece, and then we took it all together, and we tried to light the whole fire. And this one wasn't super hot. This one wasn't super hot. This one wasn't super hot. But when we put it all together, that fire warmed everybody. Now, when we as a collective group can come together under the preaching of God's word and under the sound and authority of God, I want you to think about this. The fire that we build can reach more people in our community than we've ever seen. And I want you to think, the amount of people that this church, just with the people that are here this morning, the people that we can reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we as a group collectively came together, brought our fires together and said, we are going to reach people with the gospel. We're going to declare the gospel. Think of the impact this community would have. Think of the impact our church would have in this community. I pray for this. I think about this all the time. And I think about, man, if we as a group all got together and just went full force with the gospel, I can't tell you the amount of people that would see that fire and would see God through it. This is a very simple story of Paul just being warned by a fire. But how important it is that we don't let our fire burn out. How important it is that we as a group come together and we encourage one another and we help one another, because that's what a church does. We are together. We help each other. We get each other through the times because God, as our helper, has given us all that we need. Father, we thank you for the time that you've given to us this morning. We're thankful for the opportunity where we can be in your house and we can listen to your word preached and we can hear the things that you'd have for us. And Father, as we looked at keeping our fires burning this morning, I pray that each person in this room would have a fire burning so bright that people around them can't help but ask what is going on in their life.